Chapter 4. Dreadful News. I returned to the routine of school life. Somehow the time passed until March, when it was my birthday. I received a message to go to Mr. Creakle's office, and I was sure I was going to receive a birthday present from Peggotty. I stood up quickly, but my teacher said kindly, "Don't hurry, David. You have lots of time." As I entered, I was surprised to see that Mrs. Creakle was there, and not her husband. "David, I've got something to tell you," Mrs. Creakle said. "The world changes, and we all must live with these changes. Sometimes when we are young, sometimes when we are older." I looked at her, wondering what she meant. "Was your mother well when you left home, David?" I nodded, still not understanding what she was talking about. "Because I'm afraid I've just heard that your mother has been ill, very ill." Suddenly I understood, even before I heard the words, "She is dead." I thought of my sad, empty home, and of my baby brother. Mrs. Creakle told me he was also very ill and might die as well. Then I thought of my father's grave and of the grave in which my mother would soon be buried. When I arrived home, Peggotty ran out of the house and took me in her arms. She told me that my baby brother had also died, and that he would be buried in the same grave as my mother. I saw many familiar faces at the funeral, but I only remember the terrible sadness that I felt. All I could think of was my mother, who I would never see again. My future was now uncertain. Apart from Peggotty and my Aunt Betsy, who I had never seen, I had no one in the world. Miss Murdstone had never liked Peggotty, so it was no surprise that one of the first things she did after Mother's death was to dismiss her. Before she left, Peggotty promised that if I ever needed assistance, she would help me. She also invited me to stay with her at Yarmouth for a while. I asked permission to go with Peggotty and was very surprised when the Murdstones agreed. We travelled to Dan Peggotty's house in Mr. Barkis's carriage. It was a pleasure to be among friends again. I looked around me, but the person I was looking for wasn't there. "Where is Emily?" I asked.
"She's at school, Master Davy. She'll be home soon," Mr. Peggotty replied.
The time passed very slowly until the door opened and Emily entered. She had grown, and her eyes seemed bluer and her face even prettier. She pretended not to know me, and when I tried to kiss her, she told me that she wasn't a baby anymore. In fact, she spent the whole day teasing me. Everyone wanted to please her, and I understood why. She was a lovely person. Mr. Peggotty hadn't changed, and neither had Ham. They remembered their visit to Salem House and asked about my friend Steerforth. Even though they had only met him once, they too admired him very much. As we talked about Steerforth, Emily listened attentively, her blue eyes shining. She too wanted to meet Steerforth. I was disappointed that this visit was not like the previous one. Emily was too busy to go for walks on the beach. Even though we spent little time together, I knew that I was in love with Emily, and I even imagined marrying her one day. During my stay, Mr. Barkis appeared at the house, bringing all kinds of small presents for Peggotty. One day, Mr. Barkis and Peggotty decided to go out for the day, and they invited Emily and me to join them. The first thing they did was to stop at a small church. They went in, and Emily and I waited outside. After a while, they came out, and they both seemed very happy. While we were driving, Mr. Barkis asked me, "Do you remember the name I wrote on my carriage?" "Of course, Clara Peggotty."
"What name should I write now?"
"Clara Peggotty?" I asked, not really understanding what I was supposed to say.
"No," he laughed. "Clara Peggotty Barkis."
We were all very happy.
Those happy days at Yarmouth passed very quickly, and soon I had to return home to Mr. and Miss Murdstone. They both left me alone and ignored me. I wasn't allowed to see anyone, although Peggotty usually managed to visit me once a week. She never came to the house. We met nearby. One day, Mr. Murdstone said, "David, this is a world for action, not for sitting in the house all day. I am not rich, and education is very expensive. I have therefore decided that you will start work. I have arranged for you to work in my business in London. You will earn enough money for food and drink, and you will have a little pocket money left." I had often heard about the Murdstone's wine business. Now I was going to find out exactly what it was like.